Okay, cuties, hello. I just taught three Legree classes at my favorite place on earth. I've been teaching there since October, and it's inspired me a lot because this is essentially my career now. It's one of the ways I make money. And last week on the podcast, I talked about health and wellness, and I was also just listening to the Mel Robbins podcast, where she talks about ways to have a good week. And in that episode, she talks about brain dumping. And that's something that I've been doing basically since I could write. In college, I had this massive document on my computer called thoughts.docx, THOTS, of course. And anytime I'd feel stressed out or anxious, I would just write a shit ton of stuff. Whether it was things I had to read for class, or I was like anxious about writing a paper and I didn't want to write about the paper. I felt like I wanted to write about not wanting to write the paper. That's what my brain dump would consist of. And recently, I made a decision to stop doing graphic design. So this is where this comes full circle. I am not taking on graphic design projects right now or paid commissions. I'm just not doing it because the reality is, I've been doing this since 2016. I know what it's about. I know what my value is as an artist, and I simply just don't want to deal with clients anymore. So I made this really hard decision to stop taking on projects and clients. And for the past month, I've just been teaching Legree. And you know what? It's set me free. Would spend basically every waking moment of my life just thinking about client projects and how to perfect them just for the smallest amount of money someone would be willing to give me, especially over the past 2 years. It used to not be like that, I will say. It used to not be so hard to just get people to give me the worth that I ask for. But there's a lot of factors that go into this, and AI, the fact that a lot of people can make their own work now with Canva, which I think is great. I think it's empowering to actually make and design your own creative assets. I want people to feel empowered to just figure that out for themselves. I've started to feel like being a graphic designer is basically just having all of this knowledge, and then other people pay you so that they can backseat drive when they don't really have design expertise or the knowledge. And I am just going on such a Mel Robbins kick lately because I listened to her new book, Let Them. And I decided if the design industry is going to be like this for however long, maybe it'll change, but maybe it's gonna stay like this for the rest of the year. Lord knows it's been like this the past 2 years. I'm just gonna let it, and I don't want to be part of it, frankly, while it's like this. But I've decided, okay, that's how it is. I can decide to do something else. So I've been teaching Legree, I've been pursuing my creative projects, and I've cut back my lifestyle a lot just so that I could afford this. But it's also paid me back so much in time and energy that I now have for myself. I can go on my hot girl walks every day whenever I want to. My step count is up. I get like 10 to 15,000 steps in a day, and that makes me happier. I was like averaging like 3,000 steps a day working an office job, and that's a sedentary lifestyle, which I'm sure many of you know will lead to many other health complications in the long run. So I just decided, no, I don't want to do that. Like, it's not worth it to me. Like, that's not, there's no amount of money you can pay me unless it's like a lot of money, like way more than I've been getting paid, where I would agree to take on some sedentary design project for someone. And then they would have to be like a great person to work with. So I've decided to just stop doing the mental gymnastics around that. And yeah, that's one of the ways I've been feeling free lately. So I mentioned that I've been going on these hot girl walks, and this is something that I've always done. I actually really like to run, and I've been running consistently lately. The goal is to get back into running. But until then, I'm warming up with going on walks every day and at least trying to get in 10,000 steps. I thought that was like super challenging and unrealistic because it adds up to around 2 to 3 hours. But the key is to actually break it up into a few different walks or like light jogs throughout the day. So I'll wake up and I'll do a couple laps around the neighborhood. And in the afternoon, I'll do the same thing. And then in the evening, I walk my dog. And then boom, like 10,000 steps right there. It ends up being a lot less time than I think it will be. And I just listen to a podcast. I'm like restudying French again, which I studied for 3 years in college. And I just haven't practiced and kept it up. So one of my favorite things lately has been listening to Pimsleur conversations on the Pimsleur app and using Duolingo on my hot girl walks. And that has also, I think, helped me feel more mentally flexible, and it's unlocked this part of my brain only speaks French. It's fun to think about because when I have visited France or studied abroad there, it's just a slower pace of life. It's not as obsessed with being on the phone all the time as we are in American culture. And I think that kind of helps me unlock this more creative side of my brain that is a bit slower and appreciates art and language. And I think language learning will do that for you. It slows down my train of thinking because I have to be intentional with my words since I'm just learning another language. So that is another thing that is difficult but has made my life more fun. This is an art and creativity podcast, and I've been doing this for over a year now. I started right after the fires happened in Maui. I got laid off from an AI job that was really not fulfilling and destroyed my health. And I just needed a creative outlet. So I did what I knew to do best and basically used this podcast as a brain dump for all the experiences I was going through, which were not easy experiences. And I know a lot of people might be going through similar impacts of natural disasters or fires. And I think one of the things that I've been grateful for is actually having overcome that experience that happened 2 years ago. I know that it could probably happen again, but now I just have an understanding of what it takes to get back to a baseline and find joy again. And it has a lot more to do with all the things I love and being a person in the world rather than just working and staying in a survival mindset. It took me about a year and a half to get to this point where I even realized graphic design was upsetting me so much and branding. And I love being a student. I love practicing. I love taking the time to learn, honestly, purely for my own benefit, so I could express in ways that were just hard to, not having the skills of Photoshop or Adobe Suite or all the things that I learned throughout this career. Content creation, even. But now I have all these skills, I realize I don't necessarily have to apply them to the work that someone else pays me to do. There's a lot of ways to actually use all of those skills in a way that is so much more beneficial, healing, and fulfilling to me. So this is one of the things I wanted to talk about today. It's social media, creativity, and then being a creative person in the modern age. Because I think there are a lot of ways in which social media can suck and drain your time, but there are also a lot of ways in which it can amplify creativity and things that you love. But I genuinely believe that you have to start from a place where you already love the life you're living before you pick up the task of amplifying the way you're living and then sharing it across platforms and expecting others to like genuinely enjoy what you're doing. I think people are actually pretty smart, and there's no way of faking enjoyment or things that you love in order to get like more likes and views. There might have been at a time when social media was just like new on the block, but people catch on, and it's really hard to exploit a trick for more than a few months at a time now. And before you know it, there'll just be some other loophole, some other trick that other people exploit. Long story short, I think for me, I've learned that one of the things that's been sustainable and fulfilling in my life is teaching Legree classes. And I've recently decided to take my social media more seriously in promoting my life as a Legree instructor, talking about classes and moves. And that's because it's actually easy for me. I'm in the studio most days throughout the week. I'm writing new classes, I'm interacting with clients and trying to find ways for them to help understand moves in their body. And social media is like a powerful way of just assisting as a teaching aid and informing people about classes. To me, it's a lot more about that connection, knowledge, and understanding than it really is just like producing for the sake of producing, which is what my other work started to feel like. And it's fun because in Legree, we talk about tension under time, going slow, being very intentional, and progressing moves and evolving. And I think that's something that I'm trying to do with my schedule. That's something I'm trying to do with the ways I earn money, I learn, and I connect with others. And just making my life much more simple. I've been able to do this by brain dumping and just like seeing every single thing that I think about in my brain and like identifying the things that are really going to be more interesting and fulfilling for me to do with my life that isn't necessarily just meaningless tasks for the sake of doing meaningless tasks. And I think we all need this reminder because even myself, like sometimes I go through these major crises in my life. I definitely did throughout my teens and my early 20s, where I just have to hard reset and come back to the basics because I somehow overcomplicated my life to the point where I was no longer enjoying it. And I think that kind of sneaks up, but what I'm working on now is not letting that happen and just keeping everything simple, not getting carried away or caught up in someone else's ambition or plans. And truly the best way of doing that is owning my own work, writing about it, blogging about it, podcasting about it. I've been loving going to events put on by other people, meeting people in person, and it's very simple. It's very human. And I enjoy living my life like that. Another thing that's given me peace is that I've learned it's not my business to be in everyone else's business, literally and metaphorically. So when I do get online and I post on social media, it's usually for a purpose, not to just know what everyone else is doing. And frankly, I don't care because it impacts me very little. So if I see something and it's useful to me, it's likely because it's actually something I could participate in and get some benefit from. And I think that's how maybe a lot of people use social media, but rarely do people, or at least I think that some of the best content creators make content that is actually useful and beneficial to other people. They don't just pump out work that is meant to take up time and attention. And I think that's another important piece in this discussion about the attention economy, because just as we are consumers and can make content, I think one thing that I'm focusing on now too is consistency in order to build up. So I don't have much more to say on this topic other than maybe try it. Maybe try turning off your phone first thing in the morning, just jotting down your appointments with pen and paper. Go on a hot girl walk and see how that makes you feel. I think I've gone on this long tangent of talking about creating space and silence because I definitely used to create from a place where I would receive these ideas and plan out these visuals and self-portraits that were deeply meaningful to me. And I'm trying to create this space in order to do that again with my personal art practice. And blogging and podcasting about it is just one of the ways I'm going on this journey of expression. Please remember to rate and this podcast if you found it helpful or interesting. Share it with a friend. And this has been The Pool Party with Jules. Thank you and have a beautiful week. So recently on Substack, I wrote an essay about how I got into content creation and worked at a social media agency based in LA during the year 2020 until 2021. And during that time, I was basically pumping out content nonstop, designing stories, editing reels for a variety of celebrity clients. And I eventually decided to stop doing that because I could take back a lot more of my time by making my own content and then pitching myself to brands just with the following I had on TikTok. I think one of the reasons why I haven't done this lately is because I don't really feel like I have the time or really the courage to promote brands that I don't really use that much. It's just not my focus right now. I would be open to it eventually, but only with brands that I actually use and enjoy. Maybe something that's in line with health and fitness, or something that's like making my life truly better. But I did take on one brand deal in 2022 and also 2023 with Mind Bloom, which is an at-home physician-prescribed ketamine service. And I really think this is something that helped me overcome some of the stress and depression I was feeling from the pandemic at that time. I had first heard about Mind Bloom, I think through an ad on TikTok, but after I used the service, I had some friends reach out to me and say they were actually investors with the company. So I thought that was interesting because it was like something that I was just genuinely interested in, and clearly the targeted ad services that B found me. This is not an ad for that particular service. There are a lot of different physician prescribed ketamine services. And even in Boise, Idaho, you can go to a variety of different clinics where they will give you drip or drip infusion or a ketamine injection. And that can be a nice experience as well. Some doctors and physicians will provide like a meditation or intention beforehand. But essentially what happens is it leads you to this really serene and elevated state. Ketamine itself is not necessarily a hallucinogenic. It's more of a tranquilizer. And a lot of people know about it because it is used in veterinary medicine a lot to treat horses. Or if you go to the hospital, they give it to patients and kids all the time. And I don't know the exact dosing information because I'm not a doctor, but I know from Mind Bloom, they mentioned that the dosing they provided in the tablet was basically a tenth of what they give kids in the hospital. So when I did physician-prescribed ketamine at home, I had a set of 7 lozenges that I would use over 7 different sessions, like one each week. And with the lozenge, I put it underneath my tongue, you don't swallow it, and you just let it sit there for 20 minutes. And in that 20 minutes, basically this wave of calm overcomes you, and then you spit out the medicine in that period of time. But there's a sense of identity, but not necessarily attached to the body or like worry or pain. And I think for me especially, like, I'm a bit self-conscious and I can be really judgmental of myself, but it almost is as if those worries are tied to certain pain in the body that I've experienced before. And as soon as the body is tranquilized, the mind as well is able to just roam in this free state of not being hurt or dealing with the pain. It's just in this free state of creativity, love, acceptance, and wonder. And I've had some interesting experiences on different occasions taking this medicine. I remember one of the first few times I took it, I saw this line. It was just like this blue line, almost like a graph that turned into a wave. But it was an understanding that this wave was lava coming out of the ocean, almost like the Hawaiian islands forming. And I was in Hawaii at this time when I had this experience. And I had this sense of like pressure building, like lava underneath the earth's core, and then it coming up to the surface and hardening into a peak. And from that release of pressure, land was formed. But also this idea that I could let out my emotions that I was holding back and there wouldn't be an issue. It would turn into something else. It would be manifested into something that is like land or a physical creation. I think that's interesting because there is a lot of periods of time, I think prior to 2020, like even going through college, where I had a really hard time expressing some of my difficult emotions or anxiety. Bless my parents, but I grew up in an environment where sometimes it wasn't super encouraged to talk about difficult feelings and emotions. We were encouraged to just work them away or repress them and not talk about them, because talking about like difficult subjects was not comfortable for people. But obviously that's repression, and it leads to a lot of other problems. And so I think that visualization and metaphor for me of the lava coming out of the ground showed me that anything that came out from inside me would just be transformed. And it could be in a healthy setting, especially. Like, for example, lava doesn't just turn into land without the presence of water or the conditions of an absence. And so it was like almost like a safe container to like let out those feelings. And in this same experience, I then saw this curly line begin to form, almost like hair growing out of a follicle. Like, when, I don't know if you've ever seen an animation of hair growing out of a follicle, but as soon as it pushes out of a root, it coils, but it always begins from a single point. And just as I saw the lava coming out of the earth and forming an island, I saw this hair coming out of a follicle and turning and spiraling like the earth does in the solar system and through space. And had this idea of just this matter spinning in space, which was land, which was the earth, which was part of this grander solar system. Like, everything had its place and its natural progression in this cosmic dance. So clearly that is obviously just how the universe works, but I think for me, when I had that experience, it was really poetic. And I think we oftentimes discount feelings, emotions, words as humans as maybe not necessary, or like the strongest wins and the losers, we just don't talk about their emotions or whatever. We ignore them. Like, history gets written by those who conquer and prevail. And so I think for me, my emotions had a place in that moment of just being part of all of it, even though it might not always get acknowledged. And that is something I am thinking about, because I was also thinking about how Hawaii was a really special place to me, because it helped me understand how even the earth is changing a lot over time, and things like the islands are formed over thousands of years, and the plates are moving, and all the islands are just a part of this chain of magma coming up to the surface and hardening. And there are also these paths of voyagers coming from Malaysia, Indonesia, to then Polynesia, and what is the Hawaiian Islands. And so I think there are also really beautiful patterns in migration that we see in the land in a historical timeline. So I think in a kind of esoteric spiritual sense, I am very deeply connected with nature, but long stories of the land that take place over thousands of years in this larger snapshot of time. And that is also something that really brings me peace overall, because in the day to day, on the topic of notifications and news and the phone, it's so present. I think a lot of people would say you have to be creating content all the time, you have to always be on your phone. But the reality is, I think when you think about legacy and the duration of a human lifetime, maybe somewhere between the average of like 35 to 80 years, depending on environmental factors and health, I don't really want to give so much weight to every little thing that happens every single day of my life. And when I'm able to put the phone away and not get so obsessed with what everyone else is doing every day. It gives me that peace and that silence to know intuitively what is right for me. For example, I notice that when I'm not on my phone, I actually do notice visual aspects and details of the fibers on a towel or the fronds on a branch more than I do when my mind is busy with all these different projects or things that I think I have to or need to do. And that presence and observation gives me a message and a very similar metaphorical lesson, similar to the lesson that I got from seeing the wave form and the island form and then the earth spinning in space. So I don't have much more to say on this topic other than maybe try it. Maybe try turning off your phone first thing in the morning, just jotting down your appointments with pen and paper. Go on a hot girl walk and see how that makes you feel. I think I've gone on this long tangent of talking about creating space and silence because I definitely used to create from a place where I would receive these ideas and plan out these visuals and self-portraits that were deeply meaningful to me. And I'm trying to create this space in order to do that again with my personal art practice. And blogging and podcasting about it is just one of the ways I'm going on this journey of expression. Please remember to rate and this podcast if you found it helpful or interesting. Share it with a friend. And this has been The Pool Party with Jules. Thank you and have a beautiful week.